Alright, we're back.
What's up, everybody?
It is me, your boy, Game Goblin. We're kicking off Season 3 right now, and we are fucking bombad tired, aren't we?
Oh, Blasphemous has had a long day. Yes, I have.
Well, yes, you have. Thanks to this guy, we got some really killer elbow rubbage and interviews done at the con. To start off with,
should probably just roll the intro and then we'll get into it.
Yeah, intro. Oh, yeah, that's right. I was going to do an intro for Season 3. Aggro. Intro. Feeling tired at the gaming table? Want to hear foul-mouthed jackasses poke fun at gaming companies when they screw up? Want an honest, street-level opinion from a team of gamers that call it like it is? Then Blunt Force Gamers may be the podcast for you.
Listener discretion advised.
Yep, that's the last season's intro for sure.
Eh, I don't know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I gotta do music overlays and all sorts of other shit. Stuff, things, whatever, I don't know. Brain's not working.
Yeah, it was about a 4-hour drive to get back.
That's about how long I slept last night. 4 hours. Mm. Yeah. So, con this year got kicked in the butt.
RadCon 7C, to be honest, is my favorite of the last 3 years.
Over the last 3 years, I'll say it's getting better, but this year, there were definitely some issues with the change of leadership.
Yep. One of the big changes was, we became official, everybody. We had press passes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this guy over here. Like, we're standing in there in the room, we get our press passes, and this was like, by a stroke of luck, and Darth Blasphemous using the dark side of the Force on Leaf, thankfully. And we get in there, and he won't take press pass number one. He's like, oh, it'll be pretentious if I take number one. Mm-hmm. So I just reach over, and I'm like, zoot, I'm number one.
I was number seven.
Yeah, he took number seven, but I decided to be the pretentious dick.
But, I mean, it was great the whole way it happened. So we had both pre-regged last year, as we did this year. So I go up to front, and, you know, they pull you up front for the pre-reg, which was a longer line this year because everyone did it, apparently. And I'm just like, hey, you know, we're part of a podcast, whip out our business card. Yes, we have business cards. And I was like, hey, you know, we tried communicating with this a while back. Communication kind of broke down. I was wondering because I saw you guys' posts like this last week. And then, bam, Leaf took us right to the back and was like, all right, let's talk about this, blah, blah. And then we were given press passes because they really enjoy that. And this is the first year that they're trying that. And I think we definitely have some good feedback for them. And we want to do it again next year. But we pre-regged anyways because we love supporting RadCon.
Actually, that brings me up to a point. This year, you know, actually being more involved with the people, the movers and shakers, they really did lay out the red carpet for us small fish.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was great. There were several times we were able to just walk in with a camera, you know, not to the art show. That's the big one where we can't bring a camera in, but I didn't really get to see it this year. But we were just able to go up to people and, you know, it'd be like, hey, we're part of the press, show them our pass, and then flip them a business card.
Well, even at that, it's our first time trying it, so, and I did, I talked to Tiffany afterwards, and we dialogued a bit, and since this is, like, the early on stuff, and there's a change in leadership, some new stuff's going on, I really like the fact that they want our feedback on this new thing going on, so they can improve it in the future, so we're like the test monkeys right now, ready to be shot into space, you know, after we come back down from orbit, we can go, ooh, 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 and, you know, let them know. What went right? What went wrong? Mm-hmm. You know, so they can improve the overall experience for other people coming in later down the road.
And it's not just that, but it also allowed us to network with the other people doing press stuff. You know, the guy who was taking tons and tons of photos. We talked to him for, what, 2 hours?
Something like that,
yeah. Just over the course of con, every time we'd see him, we'd exchange some information, what have you. The other people running the camera stuff, they actually did interviews with cosplayers. They had a better setup than we did, though, better camera and such.
But, yeah, of course. I have a day job. I don't know where they afford their cameras from.
Because that's their day job.
Oh. Yeah, but it was really cool, though. We were able to dialogue with a lot of the official folks. Like, mm-hmm. The guy doing the photographing of the convention. The dude with that little itty-bitty camera, that thing was impressive.
Thing can record in 4K, dude.
Yeah, it can record in 4K, but he was part of the official team that was on board even before we showed up, and we got to have a sit-down dialogue with him.
Oh, yeah, and then not just that, but when we were out at some of the drinking events, because we are of age.
We are?
Okay, you're ancient, we get it. But yeah, we were able to just sit down and talk with people, and then they're like, oh yeah, we totally want to talk, you know, such and such. But we had some nice big names this year, and of course, I got to start it off with the OG himself, Khanfather. Now, I'm sure you've heard Madamus talk about him before on the podcast whenever we bring up Khan. But this guy, literally, he tells us a story, and you'll see it on YouTube here coming up, about how the Khan got started. You know, it was just really great. He was really into it and really animated about everything. But we learned something. We need to make sure we bring waters to these, because...
That was so weird, because, we were doing the interviews, and Blasphemous here dragged in Khanfather right out of the blue. He's like, hey, we got an interview with Khanfather, so I'm like, oh, crap, I'll set up. And I had nothing in my brain, dude, because, dude, we're Blunt Force gamers. We're unscripted, unprepared, unadulterated, unfiltered, and unprepared.
Luckily, we're clean.
But unprepared, I mentioned twice on purpose. Mm-hmm. So I had absolutely nothing. And I told Blasphemous this, and I told Khanfather it. I'm like, you know, I got nothing here. I don't know anything about you. And the only thing I could think of is to sit down in the chair next to be like, hey, need a glass of water? And it turned out, after you interviewed,
he
needed a glass of water.
But, you know, that's one of the things to do interviews with, is to make sure that you are able to provide small things like that for the people you interview. And I mean, we not only sat down with Khanfather, who gave us the origin story of the Khan and of his name.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we were able to sit down with John Wick, a big old school game developer. And oh, our conversation about the alignment structure, how a game rule set works. You guys are going to love it. We could have gone on for hours, but we had another interview right after with...
Bebo, who freaked me the hell out. It was a tough interview to do because it is a sensitive topic, so I was stumbling around a lot in the interview, or at least I felt I was. I don't know how it's going to turn on a camera yet. But the problem also came with it, and I told Blasphemous about this like right afterwards, is the woman has like 29 pairs of glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first saw her during the opening ceremonies, because of vision issues and bright lights, I didn't get a clear outline of her face. I only saw that she had these rectangular frames on that day. So when she comes into the interview, she's wearing circular frames, and my reptile brain somehow just, it didn't recognize her because I didn't have a full thing, so I was looking for square frames, but there's round ones looking back at me, and I'm trying to interview somebody, but my brain is at the same time trying to figure out who this is, but I know who it is. It's just like gears grinding in my skull, but she is a very delightful gal to be around.
There's not just that, but her videos are cool too. There'll be links to her stuff when we have the big video up.
True that. I hope I can do some picture-in-picture stuff so I can do that on the video when I get around to editing.
Oh yeah. And then, of course, besides Bebo, there was Jess.
Jess Hartley, yes, indeed.
For those of you who enjoy World of Darkness, oh yeah, she's real familiar with...
Changeling.
Yep, Changeling.
She old school Changeling, second edition.
Yeah.
Her fingerprints are all over it, as well as many other works.
And she is such a delightful person. Like, every time we talk to her, to just be like, hey, we'll get to you with this information. Or, you know, there's a bit of a scheduling thing for the interview because, you know, it was a lunchtime for most people doing panels. And she felt so bad. And it's like, no, don't feel bad. We're here for your guys' schedule. Anyone we interview, we want to be as accommodating to you guys as possible, because we know you guys have a busy schedule. You're at a con, you're a guest of honor, you have panels, you have some sort of shop to run or something. We love being available to you at any time you need us to be. And if we see you in the halls and we can just bam, shoot it out right there, better. But we don't want anyone to feel like we're being overly pushy when we try to interview them.
Well, at least, you know, we put our bad foot forward, because she did listen to our Halloween Spooktacular, which was the last episode we did last in Season 2. Unfortunately, I wanted to continue the season beyond that. Unfortunately, aggro.
Yeah.
But hopefully we can continue on further. Anyway, she listened to the Spooktacular, and there was some stuff in there that she didn't quite stomach too well. But, yeah, you know, that's understandable. And the Spooktacular, we were touching on some sensitive topics in that, as too far as where lines are... should be drawn when you're writing a book or dealing with players or even just talking to people in general. But it was mostly roleplay oriented.
Yeah.
You know, so we do, that's one thing we can do at Blunt Force Gamers. So if you guys haven't figured out yet, we do put warning labels all over the podcast and video for a reason. But yeah, she was a delightful gal. She took it really well once I explained it. And actually, I think if I can get a hold of her later, she mentioned what video editor she's using, and then she's like, oh, that's what you use, so I might have to just do, like, a tutorial and be like, sneak it over to her.
Yeah. But, I mean, the great thing was this year, we had the con staff working with us to help make this better. We had a lot of great guests who were super like, hey, you know, we'll totally do this. It sounds awesome. Exchanging of business cards. And it was great. I mean, this con, I really felt was good. Yes, according to a lot of the people who actually do official con stuff, they say we were down in numbers, but there was a weather issue. You know, there was a lot
of snow. There was a huge weather issue, so a lot of panelists didn't show up. I believe, and don't quote me on this one, I'm saying I believe, it was about 30% of the panelists didn't show up.
Yeah.
I know at least two vendors did not show up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just in the hallway. I don't know about in the dealer's room itself.
Oh, in dealer's room is about three, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a thing you got to take into account when you're doing these cons is weather will vary. I mean, this con happens in February every year. And sometimes it's nice and it's clear and it's early spring. Sometimes, like this year, it's a hellish winter and there's 4 inches of ice in the parking lot.
That is true. And this winter over on the east side of the mountains in eastern Washington was pretty gnarly.
Yeah, when we crossed over on the 90, it was okay. There was snow everywhere. We weren't really getting pounded with snow. But as soon as we crossed through and got into the, you know, I-84 and such, it was whiteout conditions for miles.
Yeah, we were lucky to actually make it to RadCon to do our stuff this year, because I remember that wind gust.
Oh, yeah, that one threw me for a loop.
Yeah, we were on our way to RadCon, we hit a wind gust, and it blew us almost halfway into the next lane over, because it just came out of nowhere, just bam. So, people not showing up at con this year, people can gripe all they want, but that's what we went through, just coming over the pass from our end. And anybody coming over from Idaho has got it even worse right now.
Or up from Oregon.
So weather conditions had a big play into it this year.
Definitely. So keep that in mind, folks. When you're going to a convention, your number one priority is your own safety. If weather is outrageously bad, stay safe. If you have someone who's an experienced driver or there's a safer route, take it. Do everything you can to be safe. But there was more than that, too. There was also a lot of good vendor stuff happening this year. Our friends at Sinister Steel apparently had an amazing time. Like, they had people just ogling at their crowns and their metalwork, and they sold a helmet. They were just so jazzed, and we love hanging out with these guys because they're so cool. We both have our own lightsabers done by Saberforge. We're not sponsored by them, but we love these guys.
Oh, and you missed what happened with Mr. Sinister down there in Sinister Steel. A gal came walking in with a Pip-Boy on, the one of the special edition ones. He freaked out, which is great, because, you know, not only is he, you know, a metal worker, he does really awesome works and all that, he's also a nerd like all the rest of us. So when he saw that Pip-Boy, you should have seen a dude, both hands on his head, just spazzing out. He, like, twitched a little. He's like, oh my god! Because most years that I go in, Sinister Steel is one of the ones that sets the bar a little higher. Because when you go into his shop, he interacts with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's a very animated gentleman. You know, if you're interested in something, he will give you the 10-point sales chart of why that item is awesome. And most vendors are just like, meh. You walk in, they're sitting over by the bed or whatever. There's somebody just standing there waiting for you to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, the vendors actually seemed a little bit more involved.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like with Victor. Victor actually will, like, give you stories about the item and how he made it. Or, oh, his hats. He goes on and on sometimes, graciously, and it is awesome, about things of why he made a hat the way he did. I mean, I have a leather top hat I bought from him, what, 5 years ago, perhaps
something
more?
Like that.
And, you know, he gave me the full story of why he made it, because it's the only one I've ever seen him make that big.
But the vendors did do really well. Like, Sinister, he sold a helmet. Will was complaining about running out of chocolate.
Oh, well, marshmallows.
Running out of marshmallows, that's what it was, yeah, which is pretty normal. One of the vendors actually referred me to go to another vendor and then name drop the guy who just sent me to get a discount.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't even showing my press pass at that point, but apparently I had rubbed elbows enough. He goes, oh, no, it's okay. You're with security. And I'm like, I'm not security. Mm. He goes, well, I've heard about you. I'm like, what? So, yeah, it was really weird this year, you know, because we're stepping in over that threshold of being just attendants and being more supporters.
Yeah.
You know, in our role with the podcast and the show. So a lot of people were, you know, just, I don't know, it's kind of like, I don't want to take advantage of it, but seems to be some perks there of actually, like, being really involved with the crew, even on the low rung that we're on right now.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, so many vendors were being really cool about stuff. They were like, oh, you made it through the weather, that's awesome, blah, blah. Like, I was in the market for D&D 5e books. I don't cringe too hard, okay? Don't cringe that hard.
I just remember what John Wick had to say about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he, oh, and then my Pathfinder book I brought with me so I could study for something I'm writing.
I wish I got that on camera. John Wick, after our interview, and I wish I had gotten it on camera, Darth Blasphemous turns his back to go do something, and John walks over by Blasphemous's bag of books, turns around, and starts wiping his feet in the direction of the Pathfinder book.
That would have been epic for me to catch. But, so I was in the market for the 5e books. The collector's edition is the only one that anyone had where it had the core books and a DM screen. Because no one had just the base books. The only base books people seem to have were the Pathfinder Pocket Editions. But I'm talking to these vendors, and I don't even have my press pass with me at the time. And I'm just like, oh, you know, I've really been in the market for it. A friend of mine's running a campaign that I'm in. I'm not familiar with 5e that much. The guy was like, well, you know what? We'll do this. And he cut me a heck of a deal on it. I mean, there are plenty of people selling that for $200-$300 because limited edition. But, you know, the vendors there, it's not like when you walk into someone's store and they're sitting there watching a YouTube video or just screwing around doing their own thing. And, like, you can walk in and walk out and they're like, eh, whatever. They just wasted my time. No, these guys, a lot of vendors will actually engage with you. A couple of these salesmen, you know, we were walking around in different costumes the whole time. And they're like, oh, that's awesome. Well, and come over and check it out. Or when they were off duty or up drinking in the rooms with the rest of us, you know.
Yeah, my lightsabers passed through so many hands in the vendors' areas. Mm-hmm. I'd walk in and they'd be like, oh, does it light up? Mm-hmm. Like, not only does it light up, it makes noise. And they're like, that's pretty cool. And I'm like, not only does it do that, it vibrates too. And then I'd fire it up and, like, the vendor be like, oh, and I'm like, here, you can go ahead and hold my $500 lightsaber, dude. And they'd wave it around their store like what Sinister did with yours. And I had a couple other vendors. Dragons saw mine, like, mm-hmm. yours, and, you know, he gave me good props on that one. And, oh, who was the other vendor? It was at the leather store. Like, my lightsaber got passed around between the vendor and the customers. Like, everybody's all checking it out because it's so cool. But that's one of the really awesome parts about being in the vendor stalls. Everybody's involved with each other.
Exactly. And people are just talking. People who, if they were outside of con, may not know each other, you know, from anyone else. But everyone can come together. Now, the thing that made my day about walking around with my lightsabers and being in my Sith garb was every time a little kid would come up and want a picture. And I'd be like, do you want to hold one of them? And the way their eyes lit up and the joy in their face, and their parents were just like, that's actually cool.
Ironically, I dressed up in my Sith costume and I went into the free photo area. And, you know, I put up my scowl and I'm like, you want me to be angry Sith Lord? And the guy's like, you know, since you're willing to ham it up, and he like pulls out these neat things to mess with the shadows to make it even more Dark Lord and all that. And there's this little kid off to the side. I'm like, come to the dark side. We got cookies. And the little kid, you know, gives a little chuckle. I'm like, they're oatmeal raisin cookies because they're nutritious. We have a great dental plan. And, like, the little kid starts really starting to, like, laugh it up, you know, and his dad's standing in the background laughing it. But the one that got me, though, is when I'm running around in my goblin outfit for doing video. Some of the people have seen it in the videos, of course, if you go that route. It's just a burlap mask with buttons sewed on and these big floppy ears. And I come walking out of my room first thing, and Blasphemous has already summoned me on the phone, so I gotta go running downstairs, you know, do some interviews. I come out the door, and there's this little kid in a First Order Stormtrooper costume. And he turns around and he sees me, and the kid just, like, muscles all tight, and he just seizes up right in front of his dad. And I'm like, oh, God, no. In my head, I'm like, I can't have this kid freak out. You know, I'm not an unfriendly goblin for the most part. Okay, maybe I am. But anyway, not the children. You know, messing around with people's kids is bad jujus. But his dad, no, he plays right into it. It's just like, I do not want to explain the con security, you know, that some dad decided to have fun with his own kid, you know. Because the kid turns around, he just stiffens up, and his dad's like, oh, yeah, you're probably too old to eat. And I'm just like, the kid's already freaking out in front of me, like, standing there, like, starting to shake and stuff. And, you know, I'm going to get, like, so I play it off. I give the kid a little pinch on the arm. I'm like, nah, too old. But, you know, if I said anything else, like, oh, yeah, I like to eat children, you know, next thing I know, there's probably going to be a screaming kid, an angry parent, and security on my ass. Just, damn.
Oh, yeah, dude. But, see, that's another fun thing. Is like, RadCon hasn't always been what was tried to happen, where it was kind of Disneyfied, right? To make it all for the little kids. Like, I love when people bring their kids to con. I love that they have con activities for the kids. It's really great. It gives the parents a chance to get away and do their own thing. It gives the kids a sort of taste of what a convention is like. And it's awesome. That's great. But when people try to push the family-friendly stuff too much, it pushes out a lot of the stuff that we know about the con. You know, there were a lot of issues with that, but I think they're finding a good balance. You know, the kids have their stuff, and then the older people have their stuff, and the people who, the, you know, young adults and teenagers that are kind of in between, they just seem to have fun all the way around, at least from people I've talked to and stuff I've seen, because, you know, this year everybody was really like, oh, this is awesome. You know, I talked to a lot of people at the end of con earlier today. You know, they were just like, it was a great time. We got to meet so-and-so. But finding that balance definitely between the family-friendly side and then letting people who are, you know, adults be able to do adult things. You know, being able to have a little bit of drink in the proper areas, which is totally legit. Is all above board.
Is this part of the show where we start stomping on blue pills?
I think we should.
Because you're segueing into that real close. And that, you know, I'm willing to rant on that in a heartbeat.
You know, I'm so covered on blue pills from last year, dude.
Yeah, it's just, and it's weird because, like I mentioned last night, I bumped into a couple of gals and they are anti-PC. A couple of guests of honor. And I won't say their names because, you know, they're guests of honor and it's not my job to finger point.
Yeah.
But a few of the guests of honor and some of the guests there, and it's a growing number that I bump into every year. Like last year, it was like one person who was like, oh, you know, there's a safe zone. I don't want to be in there because that's just stupid baby stuff. And this year, a lot more people have been getting into my radius, you know, mentioning how much they don't like the panels about forced diversity, you know, and it's something I agree with because I believe in the course of nature myself personally. It's the way we evolved. Social dynamics evolve the same way. It's just a natural progression. And if you try to force it, it screws things up and yay, fun.
Which is funny because don't get us wrong now. Our group here, well, we're sort of diverse, you know, I mean, I'm the Hispanic. Narciss is our African-American descent guy. We've got a couple females that have come through and done the show with us. We got
a fat man.
Yeah.
And a Puerto Rican. No, we don't. He's Canadian.
Canadian.
I get the two mixed up so easily.
But we do have a Puerto Rican that was on last season.
We did, yes. Yeah. It's just the fact that they're forcing, you know, like I mentioned earlier, you know, with Dungeons & Dragons, the original first edition Dungeons & Dragons, you had elves, you had dwarves, you had humans, you had, later on, halflings. No, they got sued for hobbits, so they had halflings. So, you know, you already had a diverse group already start up. It was play what you want to play. You could write down female on your character sheet if you were a guy, if you wanted to. It didn't matter.
Yeah, or, you know, yeah. That's the thing about this is we're all about diversity in the natural way. Now, people who have their prejudices and problems, you know, they can go suck an egg for all I care. Because when I play with people, I'm going to play with people I like because of the character of them. Because they're awesome. I've got friends that are all kinds of whatever label you want to put on them. All I call them is my buddies.
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, say the people we interviewed today. I'm not today. It's been a long weekend, folks.
Yeah.
The people that we interviewed over the course of the weekend. You know, if I was to start a group with these people, it wouldn't be because I want a token female, you know, with glasses who, you know, has in the past trauma. You know, I don't want to, you know, pull the trauma card out and say, oh, this player's here because, you know, she needs the game for therapy.
Yeah.
I want her at my table because I want her at my table.
Yeah, she was, you know, super cool.
She was super cool. And, you know, and at the same time, I wouldn't go, oh, well, I want John Wick because he's getting up there in years.
Hmm.
You know, we need our token
elder.
We need our token elder to, you know, dispense wisdom and all that. No, I want him at my table because he's a knowledgeable individual. And, you know, he can bring stuff to the game that I might totally miss. And that's the same thing that I brought when I started my group, before we started this podcast, in fact, about a year before, you were in that group.
Yep.
Yeah, everybody that I brought in that group. Okay, so we had Darth Narciss, of course. I didn't bring him on board because he's black. I did not bring him on board because of anything related to skin, race, ethnicity, religion. I'm just like, I want him at my game table because I want him there.
Yeah, and you know, Narciss is like a brother to me.
He's like a brother to you and to me. I met him, oh my God, like 15 years ago, sleeping on my couch randomly, and he promised that he would, you know, play in one of my games back then, and he seemed like he had all of his marbles in his head, and that's what I like. I like a mature player with a lot of marbles in their head ready to go. So inviting him to the game at that point, none of the stuff that we're supposed to label people with was there.
Exactly.
I did not invite his wife because she's a woman. I invited her because she was excited to play in a game with actual role play.
Yes, and we got so much of that.
We got so much of that. Yeah, I did not invite Jason because he's a little light in the loafers. Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed that or not. Yeah. But he's a little, you know, a little vishnicked. But I didn't invite him because of that.
Yeah,
I
invited him. He's a good game player.
He's a good game player, and, you know, when we were in the store, he used to come to me for GM advice all the time, so that's why I invited him to my game, so he could learn more. It wasn't about the label.
Exactly.
It was about the person.
The character of their actions.
Sorry, well, I used... Long day use it, the character of their actions. And I just started seeing stat blocks. But I get it. It's been a long day. I get it.
Yeah.
I know where you're going with this.
But, you know, that's just one of the things, you know, we, at least in the way I've experienced gamers, I know it's different for everybody, but we don't care about the labels, at least from the group we have and other groups I've been tangential to. It's all about people you get along with in a way. You know, it doesn't matter what you look like, what label you want to put on yourself or other people put on you. We're all about, especially when it comes to being at con, we have a large diversity of people we like to hang out with.
Okay, so now that we've played the we have a black friend card.
That's all it's going to be labeled.
That's probably all it's going to be labeled, regardless of the truth. Now that we've played that card, there is actually camps growing within the con circuit right now. Noticeable camps that weren't really there 2-3 years ago, but are becoming more and more prevalent today, especially late night in the hallways, you know, at the parties and stuff. People are starting to grumble about this. People are actually starting to get vocal, because the problem with PC culture is it's not inclusive. It's actually very oppressive, that I have to change the way I am, or I force you to change the way you are to make me more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very oppressive mindset, and a lot of people at the cons are starting to really start to get that feeling that they need to push back, because they're feeling that they're getting pushed.
Yeah, and I mean, it's one of those things where, like, at con, we see so many different people, if you want to break them up into groups, you know, the great monoliths. They just hang out. They talk. Everybody's just enjoying themselves. And there's no need to break things down, break people apart because of labels, because of ideas someone has about someone else. I have not seen anything at con that has led me to believe that there is one racist person who is out. They may have it secretly. They may hold it within their own stuff. But you know what? We all know the etiquette at con is to have fun.
It is. And the strange thing is 20 years ago when I first started doing cons, back around 93, you just showed up.
I couldn't even walk in 93.
I know you Let me dig myself out of my coffin here for a second. But back in 93, when cons were still in black and white, and we had to walk uphill all three ways just to get our badge that we paid for. In the snow, by Pony Express, no less. But back in 93, you know, when you went to a con, none of this stuff mattered. You went to a con, and somebody could dress up as a Klingon, they could dress up as a Vulcan, they could be a sexy she-beast in bondage gear, whatever.
They could go in plain clothes.
It didn't matter. There was no judgment because we were all nerds.
Outcasts from the start.
We were outcasts from the start. We were all nerds. And that was pretty much the bonding element between all of us. And I could walk down the hall, and this is how I ran into Dr. Robert Day, whose IQ makes my brain scream in terror.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this guy is wicked smart. He's like pushing 220 last I checked.
Sweet Jesus.
Yeah, this dude's IQ is just gross. But I ran into him, you know, and here I was back in 93, just a dumb kid, and we were having a highly intellectual conversation, you know, and there was no judgment. And this guy, you know, physically, the guy looked like a marshmallow with Bernie Sanders hair at the time.
Okay.
You know, so, and I was a street punk in black with spikes and stuff. There should be no reason why we would ever talk to each other, like, outside of con. But inside con, those barriers were broken down right from the get-go.
Exactly, because instead of focusing on what differentiates us from each other, we need to focus on what binds us together, that thing that we have in common, whether it just be, hey, I'm at con, you're at con, or if it's like, we're both Star Trek fans, we're both Star Wars fans, or I'm a Star Trek fan, you're a Star Wars fan, but you know what, we love our franchises and they're both great.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, that really brings people together. Not forcing it, but
it's true.
I think we've been on this topic a bit long, so
yeah,
let's move on, if anyone is still listening.
If anyone's still listening, and we might have lost half of our listeners, but I do know that Jiggles is still listening. Thank you, Jiggles.
Yep. Guess what? You get shout-outs.
You get shout-outs, Jiggles, because you're our number one fan and you have not missed an episode yet. Now, to get on with things here, I wound up, and this is one of my neat superpowers, other than falling up stairways and being able to anger anyone.
Oh, don't forget, you're also immune to alcohol.
And virtually.
Mm-hmm.
Virtually. I did get tipsy last night, and it took about half a cup of, well, I can't say because there might be children listening.
Mm-hmm.
Moonshine.
Half cup of adult beverage.
We were calling it coffee juice. I drank so much last night, dude. I'm surprised I had a hangover, but yeah. I sobered up so fast, too. I was angry. Anyway, one of my other superpowers, other than going off on tangents about alcohol, is that I just walk up and talk to people and somehow wind up in your groups. And Darth Blasphemous here knows that I'm adopted. Let's see, I'm a Cambodian. Mm-hmm. I'm Vietnamese. I'm Filipino. I'm white. I'm a token brother. That's according to Groovy Lou. Mm-hmm. God, I'm part of so many groups. And yeah, I walk into a group and, like, I swear I could walk in and talk nylons and pom-poms with cheerleaders, turn around 2 hours later and go to a biker bar and not get my ass kicked, maybe.
Yeah, because that's kind of just one of the things is we're, so I know this sounds terrible, but I was a kid when I thought of this. And I have two other friends who agreed with me, and this was our title. We were floaters. We'd float to one group. We'd float to another. We didn't have any exact ties. We just enjoyed everyone's company, and everyone seemed to enjoy ours.
Yeah. And so, on the topic of floating, I went into 10 Forward to get my yearly dose of Romulan ale in large quantities, and I ran into a gentleman named Agathon McGeechee, if I got that right.
Sorry if we didn't.
Sorry if we didn't. But this dude, he had a portfolio of some of his sculptures, and he was sitting right across from me. Very gentlemanly dude, lots of laughs, bit reserved, well-spoken, though, and, mm-hmm. you know, we had a good time talking amongst him and the fellow to my right. I don't remember his name, but he was a writer, and he had just wrote a book, and, you know, hive mind, I just threw out a book idea, and it turned out to be actually really close to what he had written, and one of his buddies was sitting on my left side, and the three of us just sat around for hours talking, and here I am, and then I just realized, you know, who are these people? Yeah. And I look at their badges, and I realize I'm sitting around people who are doing like 12 hours worth of panels all day with VIP written on their tag.
Pro.
Oh, yeah, pro. Yeah, so these were some VIP dudes. And then a little bit later, and I can't remember his name, but he was also doing a panel. It was the bald gentleman that was at our table last night. It was a super smart dude, especially with spatial physics. Oh, my God.
Oh, we got into a conversation about trying to travel faster than light, I believe.
Yeah. And, yeah, and, you know, she comes back the day before she left.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that limerick was funny. And it's not dirty.
It's not dirty.
A non-dirty limerick.
A non-dirty. I know. He laughed like it was. And he laughed at my Higgs Boson jokes would help.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So this guy was really good. And I ran into a little bit later Hugh Gregory. And Hugh, this guy, is, wow. He's really big on the whole rocket science stuff. He was showing me videos and stuff. And somehow, with my natural ability of just being in places I'm not supposed to be in or talking to people that I normally wouldn't talk to, I wound up in the green room, which was technically off limits to people with just normal badges, but nobody questioned it.
You followed someone in there, didn't you? And they kind of invited you, or?
No. Actually, I bumped into Will. Me and him were talking for about 5 minutes, and he had to run off and talk to somebody. So we did kind of like the high-speed hallway conversation thing, and he went up into the green room and immediately vanished, leaving me all alone. So it was as if I just walked into the green room on my own. And Hugh happened to be in there, and I was like, oh, hey, man, I saw your panel earlier. You know, that was really cool. If you don't mind, I'd like to ask you just one question about it. And then from there, it just became this, like, two-hour-long conversation. And we started out with space and rockets, and he was showing me a bunch of the Tesla stuff that he's got video of. Then he showed me what his day job is, and mm-hmm. we got into talk about gaming. And I'd love to get this guy in front of a microphone for gaming, because he sounds really cool. Because he raises the bar, and
I got talking to him about world building while you were getting ale, weren't you?
Probably. But Hugh was telling me about, he plays, and I don't know, actually, if I should have said that, so.
Post-edit.
Okay. He plays a video game, and there was a person in their guild who died, and him and two others in the guild actually went above and beyond the Call of Duty to get a U.S. veteran buried properly. He's a Canadian, which really is baller.
Oh, yeah.
So he flew over here, and I believe one of the other guys was American. So it was a Canadian-American and a Romanian. All three of them came here to the States to make sure a guy got buried. And that's the kind of bonds that I'd really like to get on a microphone or a camera or something, is how we as gamers really bond like that. And this guy blew my freaking mind.
Oh, yeah.
And had some of the filthiest jokes imaginable. Oh, yeah. These are the jokes I cannot... we are filthy on the Blunt Force Gamers. We are rude. We are crass. And I can't tell these jokes.
We also ran into a Lord of Horror. The guy who made some of the greatest horror effect stuff that he showed us. And also the Mortal Kombat fight scenes. Or one of them.
Yes, we did.
And his name is? It's been a long day. Sorry, bro.
It has been a long day.
I don't know where I put my badge.
His name. Oh, my God. I can visualize his face right now. I'm like, visualizing it. Face.
I bought his book. Give me a second.
You bought his book. I know. Like, standing in front of him, I knew his name all weekend. Mm-hmm. And then I sobered up. And that's the problem, is I sobered up. But we were talking to him, and he was showing off videos, demonstrations of the special effects he did in Mortal Kombat, as well as the Nightmare on Elm Street series. And I really liked the tricycle, the collapsing tricycle. And, his name is Mick Strawn.
I just found his book.
Yeah, Mick Strawn. I mentioned him by name earlier. How could I forget it so quickly?
It's been a long day. We haven't been to bed. We got up ungodly early.
Well, I went to bed at 4:30 in the morning yesterday, and I got up at 9 today, so... And that's, of course, just one day. Some of these guys actually run a lot harder than I do. But yeah, Mick Strawn, we ran into him, and you got his book.
Oh yes, and I love the way he signed it. Blasphemous. Try to find better places and ways to spend $25. And he signed it, and it's hilarious. Like, this dude is so funny. He actually pushed us last year at Con to be more professional. And it's really helped. And we want to get him on next year. Just this year, things were so hectic and crazy.
They were very hectic. Oh, and the gentleman that we were speaking to last night, the physicist, is G. David Nordley. He's a Nord. Skyrim belongs to him. but G. David Nordley, this guy, he speaks really slowly. He's a quiet, reserved kind of gentleman, I think.
Well, from what I could get from talking to him, he's always thinking about the proper way to say it. Because I'm sure, just from talking to him, he lost me a few times because he got into such big, universal, changing things.
Yeah,
he has to find ways to dumb it down for the rest of us. Because, oh my God, he was blowing my mind and I was half drunk.
I do have a feeling that he was politely dumbing it down. And I'm thanking for that because by the time he showed up at our table, I was on my third Romulan ale, maybe my fourth. Okay, I was on my fourth. Yeah, but I'm glad he was dumbing it down. But he doesn't dumb it down, like, in a pretentious way. He's doing it, like, as an educator.
Yeah, it's like when you're teaching someone something new for the first time. But, oh, we came up with the best analogy for why when people try to do this stuff in movies or try to teach some things to people who have almost no familiarity, you know, when you're starting out basics, that the oversimplification renders the whole thing useless. So we came up with it. It was like describing a painting to someone and just saying it's blue. You know, there's a whole plethora of colors to make a painting awesome. But you just say it's blue.
Ironically, there was a blind guy in the leather shop. So yeah, your analogy is pretty correct because the blind guy walks into the leather shop and he had his guide with him helping him out. And the guy's checking out some of the pirate wear and whatever. And a dude across the room decides to try to help out. You know, and he's doing, you know, hand gestures and stuff. Mm-hmm. And this guy's like, he's blind. He can't see you waving your hands. Could you just describe it? Or better yet, bring it over and let him touch it because he sees with his fingertips. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's pretty much the same thing. Yeah, you can't wave your hands around mm-hmm. to point something out if somebody can't see it.
Yeah.
You know, and the same thing. Describe a painting that is of a field, but painted all in blue, but the person can't see it or can't see the color blue.
Yeah. And, you know, that's one of the things when it comes to people having, you know, there were a few people who had wheelchairs and such, and the whole crowds would, you know, part to let them by when they needed by. And if they were trying to look around inside a room, people made way. I saw a guy in crutches look like he had messed up his ankle or something, and everyone was just super accommodating just out of natural courtesy. There was nothing being forced. Everyone was just being a nice person at Con because we all know we want to be there to have a great time.
Yeah, there was a good feeling of that, of accommodation. I was dealing a lot with the ConCom people. Well, Blasphemous was running around actually doing the footwork I should have been doing. I was bumping into ConCom peoples quite often, dialoguing with them on the other side of the deal. You know, trying to get a feel for who I need to talk to later on, rubbing elbows with those guys and stuff. And even then, you know, I mean, these guys are overworked. I mean, and they were short-staffed this year due to not only weather, but a change in leadership up in the upper echelons. But they were still very accommodating. It was just like from the top down, it just kind of, you know, just snowball effect.
Like, and you know what? Just real quick, a piece of con etiquette that I apparently exemplified because someone gave me a little bit of a commendation for it, and several other people as well. When you see the people running security or hospitality or, you know, they're running stuff for the vendors, if you just say, hey, thank you, you're doing a great job when they are doing a great job, or just mention to them that things are going great and thank you, just small things like that, it makes their day because they are exhausted. They've been going for God knows how many hours doing all of this as a volunteer. You know, most cons, people don't really get paid to do stuff. They volunteer out of the goodness of their heart, and I thank them for that. Oh, you know.
And while we're on it, since I'm name-dropping over here, shout out to Brad Steiner, who gave me a hug first thing Friday morning out of the blue. He is lucky I couldn't see him coming because I had my face on, and suddenly I'm being hugged by somebody who's like, I know that goblin! So shout out to Brad Steiner on that one. Mm-hmm. And I'd also like to give a shout out to the other guy.
Leaf?
Oh, no, well, Leaf, yeah. Shout out to Leaf for helping hook us up, and to Tiffany for helping hook us up.
Oh, she was so great with trying to help us organize some interview stuff. She was trying to get us information. It was all cool. They really worked hard to help us this year, and they worked hard to help them.
Well, it's like I said, dude, it was very accommodating from the top down. Oh, that's who I wanted to give a shout-out to also was the Admiral.
Oh, yes.
Despite a rocky start out of con, before con started, there was some issues that him and the rest of his crew were dealing with, and they came to con to have a good time. And the last time I saw him, he bumped into some old friends. So the Admiral with the... No, not Christopher Hitchens. Oh, his ship name. He mentions it like 5 times every time we're in a conversation.
Dude, I am too tired.
I know.
I'm sorry.
I know there's a letter H in the last name. My brain hurts right now, seriously. Like, my right temple is collapsing in on itself, and trying to remember this name does not help.
Yeah, sorry, people. We're doing this a little dirty because we got to get it out of our brains because we have jobs to get to tomorrow.
We have jobs to get to, and we want to give you our opinions as fresh as they can be. Mm. Instead of sit around and...
Mull it over and forget things.
Forget a few things, and even, you know, make the words that come out of our mouth just not soft and too many syllables and sad.
But, you know, that's one of the things of you can tell that we love this con, because we are willing to go this extra mile, be as accommodating as possible to everybody, con staff, everybody. We did it last year at Sakura Con. That worked out pretty well. We did at RadCon the year before, and it really exemplified because some people remembered us. There were people in the hall being like, hey, I remember you guys. I checked out some of your stuff, and we thank you for that. Sorry if I don't know your names offhand, but thank you guys.
Yeah, it was weird actually being recognized this year, in and out of my face.
Yeah.
And, you know, just walking that, like, Brad Steiner coming out yelling, I know that goblin. I can't remember her name because I got zucked, but she was on my Facebook before I got banhammered. But even she ran up. The gal we did an interview with last year, Crystal Fox, was it, or something?
Oh, I'll have to review the tapes, bro.
Yeah, it was the blonde gal that was drinking my skooma. Even she came out of left field. She's like, there's a goblin! You know, it's just like, wow, you know. So we were getting recognition from people that we were hanging out with and did some videotaping with. But even Mick Strawn, just in passing, you know, I looked at him in the hallway. I pointed at him, you know, like, you! Got his attention. He turns around, you know, he doesn't know me at first. And I'm like, you told me to get a business card last year. And I did. And I whip out a business card. And he's like, hey! And it just clicked with him right off.
And not only that, he was on his way out. We were sitting in hospitality. I was getting a last minute... death dog before we left. Bad idea on my part, but that's a long drive in my stomach.
They are grease tubes.
But he literally just sees me standing in the doorway, comes over, shakes my hand, and says, had a great time this year. Hope to see you guys again next year. And I was like, dude, we'll try to get you in front of a camera. And he's like, yes.
Actually, the weird part was he gave me a bit of recognition during his panel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just that momentary recognition because he was going over the Mortal Kombat scene and he was trying to remember Robin's last name. You know, he's like, oh, you know, during this fight scene, you know, Robin was helping out. He's Robin, and he was fumbling with it, you know. And I was like, Robin Shao. And he's like, you know, he points at me that it clicked on him that I got the name right. Because in American cinema, Robin Shao is not a big actor. So, you know, a moment later, you know, he kind of does this double take thing real quick and then points at me like, bam, you know, you're good. Mm. Give me that, like, wink almost, you know, like, you're on the ball, kid.
And just something popped in my head. We're not showing favoritism to people who like us. We like all these people, and everyone we weren't able to interview was either because of scheduling issues or simple lack of time or energy, because I think this was the most sleep I've ever got at con, and I think it totaled to maybe 15 hours?
We're not showing, it's true, we're not showing favoritism, but, you know, we're no budget. I won't even say low budget, we're no budget.
We're a two-man crew, y'all.
Yo, 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 two man crew. Two men, one mic.
Oh. Why? Why? You knew that. You knew that.
I know I did. I went there.
Hate you.
But well, we're no budget, and you know, we came into the con a bit late with the press badges and stuff. Actually, the fun part was when they handed out the con badges, you know, she had number 1 through 8 sitting there. Blastman starts to reach for one. He's like, oh, I'm not going to take that because that would be too pretentious. And I'm like, screw it. Bam! I took number 1. I was like, I'm going to be pretentious. I said it out loud in front of everybody, you know.
This is the second time we've told that story this podcast.
That I did, really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Don't worry. We're almost at the end. Sorry, guys.
Did I?
Yes, you started with that.
Okay, but anyway, let me get back on the rails then and disregard the second time I told that story. Wow. Oh my God, we are tired.
He's having a senior moment.
I'm starting to feel as tired as the gentleman that was with me doing 12 hours of panels.
Yeah.
Yeah, that poor gentleman. But yeah, the way schedules work is, you know, we came in late and, you know, Blasphemous was running his butt off on the client side, basically, you know.
Well, the younger person's got to do it.
Yeah. Well, I pointed somebody, like, when Bebo was up, you know, mm-hmm. I pointed her out to you. I was like, hey, you know, what she's talking about right now is what we were talking about on the car trip over for mm-hmm. a video series. So, you know, this would tie in real great to have in the podcast. And then, of course, when Jess went up there, it was like, oh, my God.
I heard, you know, working on World of Darkness stuff, I was like, we must speak.
Yeah, well, once I heard, you know, writer, you know, I didn't feel we were going to get John Wick in front of the microphone.
It's pure serendipity. I ran into him in the hallway. He was just, you know, dancing around, had his headphones in. I was like, hey. And he was like, do you know where hospitality is? I'm like, right this way. Can we get an interview with you? And he was literally like, he ate a bit. And then we were like, all right, cool. Whenever you're done. He's like, no, let's go right now.
Yeah, that's why there's a couple of bowls of food during the interview sitting right in front of him. He just brought dinner up with him. But, you know, that guy was really awesome.
He was so great. All the people we interviewed were so nice and so genuine, you know. I didn't feel any fakeness from anybody.
Yeah, not a single one. I mean, there was one interview I felt there was a little bit of discomfort on their side. But, you know, that's understandable because all we've got right now is, you know, no budget. We got press badges that have been scribbled our numbers on them.
Black Friday special equipment.
Yeah. They're like, when we went in and we got our badges, they basically explained to us, this is the first year they're doing press badges. So even like some of the security staff didn't recognize them. I mean, we were getting looks like, you know.
Did you run the Kinko's for that?
Yeah. Did we run the Kinko's for this stuff? But no, we were 100% legit. And, you know, we're not very well known amongst the RadCon circuit for running around with the camera just yet. But we've been doing it for the last few years. So
Two years.
And. And you know what? I think this year it's actually showing signs of paying off because people are actually coming up to us now. And, you know,
I was talking to one of the guys. I'd given him a card on Friday when I was waiting in line by him. I went to talk to him on, I think it was Saturday. And he was like, dude, I'm listening to you guys right now. This is awesome. I was like, oh, my God, you're amazing.
Oh, that is so sweet.
I wish I could remember his name.
And I mean, sweet in a totally platonic way.
Yeah.
Not that I'm going to buy this dude flowers, but I might. Because that is awesome to have, you know, people, you know, actually listen to our stuff and compliment us like that. You know, I do love any kind of feedback we get. Like, you know, earlier when I mentioned in the podcast, you know, Jess mentioned there was some in there. Yeah. But I still appreciate that because it's honest feedback. And I want to give an honest podcast, so honesty works both ways.
Exactly. And I mean, we try to be 100% upfront. We tell everybody who we interview or is, you know, in the background is like, hey, I don't want to be in it. We're like, we understand. And we always let people know that, hey, if you're being interviewed or your stuff is on display for this, it's 50% yours. We will send you the originals, the edits, share it all over, use it as your personal commercial. We don't care because we just enjoy doing this because we enjoy conventions, we enjoy people who sponsor it, and people who are brought in to be like, look at this awesome person, here they are. And we're like, oh my God, they're so awesome. Almost all the way around.
Yeah, actually, that's kind of like a conversation I was having with Hugh up in the green room.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he stands out because we had a 2-hour long conversation over everything.
But, and then you guys were talking while you were drinking.
Well, no, we weren't drinking at that point.
Well, that was later.
That was later. But Hugh mentioned it when he was doing some of his gaming stuff. That there was a guy who's basically a Twitch vlogger kind of guy. And the Twitch vlogger was actually live streaming the conversation that they were having. And Hugh said, hey, this is off the record. Okay? And we are not professionals.
Yeah.
By any stretch of the imagination, we are a couple of amateurs with a microphone and just calling it like we see it. But what this guy did, I know for a fact, even with my limited intellect on the whole podcasting thing, is a no.
Yeah.
And he kept streaming after Hugh said, this is off the record, don't transmit it. This is a conversation between me, you, and the video game, basically. And there was some sensitive material in there, some confidential material, you know, in the conversation. And the Twitch streamer kept streaming it.
Oh, yeah.
And anybody who uses Twitch should know not to do this, that when somebody wants to not be recorded, especially with a candid conversation, you hit the pause button. I know this, and I'm a freak at a microphone just out to piss people off. Well, but when somebody says, hey, Game Goblin, this is a conversation I don't want to have hit the airwaves. That is the line. It's in the sand. It's drawn. I'm not going to go any
further. We hit that the year before when we were interviewing a vendor, and they were, you know, doing their till change out, and she's like, you're not recording that big wad of money. I'm like, we don't even have the camera on. The cover's closed. We're waiting for you to say you're ready. You know, it's one of those things where you have to be courteous of people just like you want them to be courteous to you. You know, ooh, you could get a big scoop and be 15 minutes of drama famous, but don't do that. That's how you burn bridges and get yourself into a small little hole in the desert.
Absolutely. And when we get back to the YouTube stuff, that's actually going to be a crossover between our YouTube and our podcasting. Is like our YouTube stuff, we might get perks in the future. We might. I don't know. I mean, like this con felt kind of like I was getting a couple of perks here and there just by having the press badge on. Mm-hmm. I felt like a couple of times I was getting perks. I'm going to ride with those perks. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to hump them for all I can, but if somebody, you know, gives me some advice or, you know, tells me where a certain person interview is at a certain time or wants to do an interview, I will take the perk as it comes, but I am not going to demand anything.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, a lot of YouTubers, and some of them overstep these bounds. They think, oh, because I have a YouTube channel, I can do whatever I want. And that's not the case.
They're barely above being paparazzi at that point.
They're barely above paparazzi. And my philosophy is, you know, when we're dealing with somebody like, say, at con, you know, and they're willing to do an interview, and if they want something stricken from the record, it's struck. Done.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're scratching our back. They're giving us content, and I have no inclination to burn a bridge at that point just for drama clicks or any other kind of clicks.
You know, that's one of the big things, is you've got to be super on point and professional with this, because this is some people's livelihood. Not just the podcasting. I'm talking about people who are professionally working on something and something, you know, slips, or they're like, hey, I want to talk to you about this off the record because it seemed cool, and you burn that bridge, you could be doing a whole lot of damage to someone's life.
Absolutely. So, you know, if there's any other podcasters out there, and I wish we had the chance to do a panel on it this year, because Mr. Leota, Sensei, wasn't there.
Hail to the Sensei.
Hail to the Sensei. He's actually working on some new material right now, too. Mm-hmm. I got the inside scoop from Will at Attention Span Games during our drinks at Mr. Leota is working on some new books, and they're all going to tie together. So those who play D&Dizzle and Laser Metal.
Number 3 is coming in. Oh my god, I'm going to back it so hard. I'm going to blow blood vessels out of my eyes.
I will hit that game so hard that when you pull me out, I will be King of England.
But no, it sounds amazing. We're going to let them do all the stuff for it. You know, it's not our bag. We just love what these guys do. And I really want to try and sit down with those guys again, just outside of con.
I'm just not going to mention the name of the game because that's the Will.
Yes, that's their property.
And this goes right back to what we were just talking about, because that's their release. That's their project they're working on. And they told us what game it is pretty much in confidence around drinking alcohol at God knows what time of night it was over in 10 Forward. So that's insider information.
We just want to be the little hype men, you know, run out on stage looking goofy and be like, yeah!
Hey, when it comes time to hype it, you know, if Will says hype it, I'll help out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I got no bad blood with Will at all, so if Ron wants me to hype it, I will hype it. But right now, what they've told us over ale and Klingon bloodline is in confidence.
Yeah.
That just goes right back to the conversation we were just having, actually. Ironically, how we just kind of segued into that without even trying.
I hate segues.
Well, that dude on that one segue, man, he was burning ass. He had that little robo thing and just right through the halls.
Yeah. They tried to call those hoverboards at one point. I don't know, but those are cool. But segues themselves are dumb. I rode one once.
He was on that thing drunk last night.
That is skills.
He left the fire people party.
Oh, yes, Ignition. Love those guys.
He left the Ignition party. Walks out with his hoverboard, jumps on it, drunk, and just down the hall. I'm like, I'm sitting on the couch, man. I'm screw that. Mm-mm. My butt right now wants to stay planted, not falling down. So props to him.
Yeah, but you know, that it's a big thing just to have the common courtesies. And that's really what a lot of people thought, well, you know, is a great thing to put forward, but as soon as people become authoritarian about it, that is when people really start fracturing apart. When we come together and we can all be awesome in our own way and we can be very different people in our day-to-day lives, but when we focus on what's bringing us together, that's how cons start. That is how big groups of friends will have lasting friendships, or heck, that's how a bunch of marriages have happened through the convention. People meet who never would have met in a million years. Totally different, you know, whatevers of whatever things. And they get together. That is awesome. With friendship, marriage, have kids, be born that way, what have you. That is the greatness of con. And that's why we love RadCon. That's why this is our season 1, 2, and now season 3 opener is talking about this convention.
It's become tradition now. I think it's official now. Absolutely. Since, you know, we're doing the post-con wrap-up on Sunday, freaking tired, with temples that are feeling weird from, that thing you get, a hangover.
Yeah,
I got a hangover still. But yeah, this has become our tradition now, is right after RadCon, we start up, because RadCon really did help us out this time around. Dude.
Oh, fun story.
There's no reason that we shouldn't scratch their back in return.
So I think this one's running a bit long, so I'll just give a quick, fast story to give an end point.
Okay, this is our end of the podcast. Quick story.
So you have to reserve rooms for this convention because it all happens at the hotel. I get mine reserved back in September. Now, we show up a day early to con so we could set up, be well-rested for Friday to do a bunch of running around and rubbing elbows to get the rest of con figured out. We're talking to Tiff, getting the badge stuff figured out. Come to find out later that their room was right across from us. So it was like, hey, what's up? And they're like, how you guys doing? I was like, we just did a bunch of interviews. It's great.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome because I'd come out of my room. And, you know, Tiff, the first time, I don't know, can we call her Tiff yet?
I don't know. That's all I remember her by.
I don't know if we're on that familiarity yet. But yeah, Tiffany, she comes out of the room. And I didn't even realize, you know, whose room it was. And she comes out, she's like, oh my God, you're right across the hall from us? So the woman that we needed to get our press badges was literally 10 feet away, their door to our door. And, you know, it was awesome because I'd come out of the room and occasionally one of them would be in their room or whatever. Or she would be in her room and somebody's walking in. And she would see me coming out of my room. And she just wave real quick, and you know, whoever's going in the door would just go on in, and I'd go my way. So it was a very friendly exchange all around.
Oh yeah,
and a lot of the con staff, they like there was an issue I had, and it required actually talking to somebody with some amount of authority,
sanctioned authority, an elected official.
Okay, this went crazy, dude. Because at first I was talking to one of the guys behind the counter, and he called in security. Then they call in the head of security. Then they call in the head of treasury. Then they call in the vice chairman. Yeah. The problem wasn't that big.
No.
But it wasn't that big. But the fact that they were so willing to help me out with an issue that I was having at the con, that they were just, you know, up bringing the next guy in chain and the next one after him and the next one after him to get it resolved. And it was funny, too, because when the vice chair came up, you know, he looked at the guy behind the table that I originally spoke to, and he's like, yeah, sure, do it.
And that's the thing, like, even when it came to us getting our badges, I know we keep coming back to that.
Yeah.
But we just mentioned it in passing, just to be like, hey, wanted to see what's going on, if we could get this, you know, whatever. And they literally were like, follow me. They brought us the paperwork, and we're like, just sign this, put your information down, bam, bam, bam. They were so, the whole upper echelon of the con staff, and everyone in the lower echelons, and everyone who was tangential in some way, were super accommodating.
And not only that, I stood in the pre-reg line twice.
Three times?
God.
You were there, I pulled you up, then you went back.
We
ran away, and then you came back, stood at the end of not pre-reg line.
No, it was the pre-reg line, because the not pre-reg line was when I needed the booklet the last time. And even at that, one of the minions still walked up to me and said, hey, do you need help? Because I didn't have paper in my hand or anything. And I'm like, oh, I just need a
swag bag.
I need a swag bag. And she ran up to the front of the line and just grabbed me one.
Oh, yeah. Same thing because we didn't get ours because we were running back and forth.
Yeah.
So I got mine before him just by running over to where they sell the t-shirts and the security headsets and all that stuff. And I was like, hey, I never got one. The guy Larry just reaches over in a pile, pulls one out and goes, here you go. I'm like, you guys are awesome.
But yeah, they were very accommodating towards us this year. And then I really do appreciate it because...
That's the thing. The whole staff is super nice. You know,
they were.
Even when they are dog tired, have been up all night, have to do a few more hours sometimes of their shift. They're just the nicest people.
Horse brutality I can understand because, well, wow, they were doing really long hours and they really didn't have very much in the way of people to cover the late night shift. But security, what did you call that one guy? Lockjaw?
Oh, boy. Yeah, people who make dumb sounds, you know, give people nicknames they don't want.
Yeah, but I don't know his name. I never checked his badge. But that guy was actually pretty cool. And, like, after a while, you know, we had, like, recognition. You know, like, I'd be walking down the hall and, you know, what's up, dude? You know, chest bump action.
One of the security guys was wearing this really nice top hat. Every time we yell, he's like, what's up, man? How's it going? I'm like, it's going great. The older gentleman who was wearing that gold suit on Friday and Saturday. Oh, he was so cool.
The guy who started out as a doctor, yeah, with all the blood splatter. Yeah, he was cool. He was super cool. But it was weird because, like, I don't know what it was, but there was this feeling that we were somewhere in between general populace and the warden's cell.
Yeah.
We were kind of, like, riding that line between the people who actually make the con and the people who are the con.
Yeah.
You know, it was weird that we were, like, straddling that line between general populace and the movers and shakers. Because, like, a lot of the people there who were volunteers or were running around in the blue shirts to, you know, signify that they were people to help, you know, they were giving us some recognition this year.
Yeah, and I think it's really because with everything that's going on, you know, people having financial issues, people making it to con and then, you know, having a bit of a hard time, we're all starting to pull together. That's the great thing. No matter what political views we have, whatever we got, we're pulling together as a group to try and make sure this con continues through the rough times.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we did sidetrack your story.
A little bit, but I feel like that's a better ending.
Yeah, we went a few minutes over, but you know what? That is a good ending. And thank you for listening. And I know this podcast is coming out a day late. Apologies, but I have to be up at 4:45 in the morning, and I am dog tired.
I have to drive him there, so yeah.
Yeah. So we will see you next year at RadCon 8A. Is it going to be?
I think it's just going to be 8.
8?
Just 8.
Okay, so... Well,
I don't know. We'll see you next year at RadCon, folks. For everyone listening, we will talk to you again here in a few weeks. We're going to get a lot more stuff done video-wise. We've got ideas for some great series coming up. And a possible return of We Digress.
And the moniker and Kezrakan will return.
Yes. Oh, and we've got it settled. We are going to schedule this whether everyone shows up or not. Warhammer 40K versus Star Wars. The great debate continues.
I can't wait for that. It's going to be so much yelling. All right. Good night, everybody.
Night.
Blunt Force Gamers.
You are whatever muddies the white.
I'm killing Steve Shives.
I am so blue ball on fucking EA right now.
It means hold on, fuck.
Pay me rent, bitch.
Hey! I paid for a 2-liter, you fucker!
3, 2, 1. Ready?
Hello. Feeling tired at the gaming table? Unsure if your game needs inspiration? Want to hear foul-mouthed jackasses poke fun at gaming companies when they screw up? Want an honest, street-level opinion from a team of gamers that call it like it is? Then Blunt Force Gamers may be the podcast for you. Now there's a podcast untamed by political correctness that may bring your game some added invigoration, whether it is video gaming, tabletop gaming, or card gaming. Each episode may contain unusual amounts of truth, logic, opinions based on personal experiences, half-assed insights, and random bullshit. The BFG podcast is not recommended for children under 18, nor for children over 18, and is not suitable for those who are nursing, pregnant, recently pregnant, or for those who can get others pregnant. Each episode may also contain crude and/or puerile humor of a racist, sexist, nihilist, ableist, jingoist, ageist, or fatalist commentary. Warning! Excessive listening to the podcast may cause the following conditions: tremors, sweating, facial twitching, premature ejaculation, pustulant tumors, nausea, headaches, dizziness, swelling in the left kneecap, lucid dreaming, daydreaming, night terrors, involuntary convulsions, a condition known as sausage fingers, spontaneous rectal combustion, autoerotic asphyxiation, an unusual desire to befriend parasitic space monsters, Bigfoot sightings, and uncontrollable facepalming. Lactation is known to occur in both men and women. Do not listen to BFG if you suffer from any of the following conditions: social justice whining, passive-aggressive hippie syndrome, high-speed battles with a Nexus 6, table-flipping rage quitting, or diagnosed as having no sense of humor. Ask your doctor if asking your doctor is right for you.
Ah, ai janai yo, suki dake da yo.